Get up in the evening feeling like Craig Thompson. Grab my laptop, set up my mic, I'm gonna rant and rave some. Before I record, grab a glass of Coke and Jack. Cause when we begin recording, I know I'm not refilling that. Talking, previewing all the games, analyzing stats and plays, laughing, poking fun at names. Jeremy reads and quotes Phil Steele zine, pulling up numbers and reads, starting to get a bit off topic, see? What? Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the games not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're biased against your team, and we make that clear. Don't get paid, don't ever fade, cause we're already here. Talk about hoops and football, cause we got all the swagger. Sometimes guests come on the show, but we never have Mick Jagger. All the writers cramping up. Matt's throwing his arms up. Kyle's got all the funny stuff. We go until SBN shuts us down, or the Mountain West hunts us down. Mountain West shuts us down, nobody's gonna shut us down. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa.
All right, and welcome to our latest Mountain West Connection radio show here. Check us out, mwcconnection.com, Facebook, Mountain West Connection, MWC Connection on Twitter, all the good places where people normally, I'm assuming, read our stuff. So we are doing, this is a live show. So if you're on right now, I say hello to everybody. We'll be discussing the Mountain West football title game, Fresno State versus Boise State. Normally, I'm joined by Chris Andres, but he is not with us at the moment. He'll be joining us soon. But however, we're joined by a pair of Fresno State and Boise State, or yeah, one of each, Fresno, Boise State experts. Most people know our good friend Matt Kennerly, who fills in from time to time on the show and does excellent work for Fresno State. So say hello to everybody, or Matt, to everybody.
Good evening to the audience.
Good evening to you. I'll track your listeners as we go, but it being it nearing 11 p.m. Mountain Time, we'll see. And then also, first-time guest, Jesse Baker, who helps over at obnug.com.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I got to admit, I'm pretty motivated, pretty pumped to be here. Not only do we have a team in the championship football game, I just got done watching Space Jam, so I'm pretty good to go.
Space Jam. So was this VHS, DVD?
The wonders of cable TV.
Cable.
Here. Were you watching it by yourself, or were you watching it with others?
I pass on that question. Who cares? I was watching it by myself.
Oh, I don't care.
You don't need to be ashamed.
Yeah, Space Jam's a great movie.
It is a great movie.
Unfortunately, I don't want to see Space Jam 2, but that seems like a possibility down the road.
It'll be much better, more skilled, more athletic than the first version.
No Sean Bradley?
Well, you can't even play Yao Ming anymore, I guess, but find somebody.
So who would be the token center then?
Probably Dwight Howard, just for giggles.
Dwight Howard.
He would be the injured one.
And naturally.
Yeah.
And of course, folks, as we begin, we go off topic right away, right, Matt?
Unibrow. That's all I'm going to say.
Ah, there we go. Yes. That guy. So, yeah, well, like I said, we do go off topic. Did either of you listen to the Mountain West teleconference the other day?
I was in class, so I did not.
Okay.
I listened to part of it.
What part did you listen to, Jesse?
I listened to DeRuiter's comments about midway through. I had to push off, but some good stuff.
Did you hear Craig Thompson speak?
I did not.
Oh, let's talk about that right now. Like I said, Chris will be joining us soon, and at least we're going to stay more on topic than they were. I was listening the whole time. I should have asked the question, but I was like, maybe not. The queue got too long. So you don't get to talk to the commissioner all that often. So no. It's a good chance. He talked a little bit about the title game. There's some logistic questions like guys from the Idaho Statesman had. I think one of the scout guys from Fresno or Rivals, I forget who it was. But then Matt's done the show with me, and he knows how we kind of go off the rails a little bit. We're more streamlined than that was talking to Craig Thompson. There was a question about some Nevada guy trying to weasel in about bowl situation, which, okay, not the worst question in the world. Talk about a player who got – I guess there was a player got ejected who came back in the game at the end to celebrate. Okay, whatever. But there's a particular San Diego Union Tribune writer I don't want to name, but people probably know who it is, who covers basketball. You guys know who that is?
I don't normally read the UT, so no.
Okay, no worries. But Oscar, it's Ziegler, so if you know who that is. His question relates to basketball. And
it makes perfect sense. It's basketball season.
Well, it wasn't even a big picture question. Oh, also basketball, and then whining about the TV revenue, the bonus structure. But here's the funniest thing was, it was December 1st. He starts talking about RPI and the chance of getting one team in the NCAA tournament on December 1st. I'm like,
it's a slow news cycle down there.
And I guess San Diego, they're who? But I'm like, I get the other football question. I was like, okay, Dan Wolken from USA Today hopped on. Because talk about UAB dropping football, Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Thompson's like, no, it's fine. Whatever, it's good to go. But I'm like, even that was kind of way out there. I'm like, what is going on? But then that question about basketball on December 1st, I'm like, come on. We're more organized than that in that group.
And so, yeah, well, I mean, if there is a second team, it's probably not going to be Fresno State. That's all I can say about that.
Oh, of course not. No. When they get what's his name back? The suspended player. Or is it
Cesar Guerrero?
Cesar. I was going to say Cesar, but Cesar. Yeah, Guerrero. The guy who made 5 half-court shots.
Yeah, but they haven't even beaten anybody who's in what is 1A so far.
Good point. Well, let's get to football. Let's get to some coaching stuff here. A few people are on Twitter asking me where the video link is, so I'm trying to get that out there. Let's get to some coaching news here. Here's what we got. If you're under a rock, me and Chris kind of discussed the situation in UNLV. We don't need to get into that except I think it's a terrible idea a high school coach would take over, even the most successful high school coach in the country. Does that make any sense to you guys?
Yeah, I was kind of with you on that one when I was listening to the discussion.
I'm actually not as big of a hater, I guess, on the idea as you are. It's a local base. He understands the very tough Las Vegas market. And I think we've seen recently the amazing jump. People Boise State's assistant, Aaliyah Drinkwitz, Gus Malzahn making the jump from high school to a very successful college coach. So I don't think it's that far-fetched.
My complaint is Chris is joining us right now. So, hey, Chris. Oh, maybe not. He dropped out. Oh, he's there. Chris is there. But I told Chris about this. I'm from Texas.
God damn.
Let me mute you real quick. But my issue was I was in Texas, and there was a Todd Dodge who went from South Lake Carroll, which is bigger than Bishop Gorman in productivity, sending players to FBS, high FBS. Mm-hmm. He won like 6 games in 4 years. And Sunbelt a decade ago was just awful. So that was my reason why. But what about Jim McElwain? Florida head coach now, right? Is that agreement? Hands up. If you can see us, raise your hand.
I'm raising both hands.
Both hands?
About an hour ago, apparently.
Yeah, we're getting pretty close. He's pretty much gone, which sucks for the Rams. But I don't know, maybe they'll get Baldwin to move up from OC to head coach. But, man, I know Florida has cash, but they're paying almost $14 million before they even sign anything. Anything towards McElwain. And that's all. Let's get going here. Chris is here. We don't want to talk about coaches. Coaching carousel is the worst. Because I remember, Chris, last year our show when we discussed the charting the plane of Chris Peterson during the show that never aired?
Yeah.
Exciting
time. You guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you. You're good.
Okay.
And we do have a one viewer. So if we're wondering, we have one viewer in the – right now?
That one viewer is probably me. If you guys can actually look at the question and answer and see the damn it, I can't get in, that's actually me.
All
Well, yeah, like I was mentioning before we talked, you know, it just brings flashbacks of the whole Boise State experience last year. And I was sure the night before that, you know, we had dodged another Boise State big conference bullet. And lo and behold, you know, Chris Peterson gone to UW. So
yeah.
I feel for that fan base very much. You kind of have this savior bringing the football back to relevance there at Colorado State. Hope to see them continue their place because it makes the conference better, and it's a fun matchup for Boise State to have those guys at an elite level.
Yes, this is the first time they've won 10 games since 2002, I believe, if I looked it up properly in my article, if I researched it the right way. But let's get to the games. Here we go. All right, so here's what we have. Everybody should know, Fresno State at Boise State, I'll give the proper name, the Sports Authority Mountain West Championship game. At 10 p.m. Eastern on good old regular old CBS. Aaron Taylor, who I'm hoping to interview tomorrow for one of our shows, so let's look out for that. Carter Blackburn, a bunch of other CBS folks that cover the Mountain West. But can anybody explain to me? I'll kind of go in order because we've got a bunch of people here who don't want to just shout out answers. And let's go with Matt here. Are you surprised it increased to a 20-point line in favor of Boise?
Not particularly, no.
17 to 20, man, that's ridiculous.
I mean, the only reason I'm not surprised is because Boise's kind of raised their game in the last couple of weeks. And they're not the same team that showed up when they played in mid-October. This team that I've watched the last couple of weeks is much, much scarier.
Well, Fresno's improved the past two games. Confidence there, folks.
Well, I mean, they looked a little shaky in the second half against Hawaii. That game got really weird after halftime. The offense kind of stalled. The defense is actually really, really good on third down, but couldn't buy a stop on fourth down to save their lives. So I don't know exactly how much you would take away from last week's game other than to say that I'm just really glad that they won.
Okay. Gotcha. So what about you, Jess? Are you surprised it's increased almost 3 touchdowns?
I guess I'm a little bit surprised by the fact that it's at 20 points, but I'm not necessarily surprised that it's moved that much. If you use last week's games as the litmus test in terms of gauging, you know, both teams' momentum, you have a 31-point victory for Boise State over Utah State, which, you know, Utah State, if they win that game, could potentially, you know, really cause the whole college football world to go into some craziness just with that final bid to that New Year's Bowl. And then Fresno State with their championship, you know, division championship hopes on the line, only put up a 7-point victory, have to hold off the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. Not the confidence builder you would like to see from them. So not really surprised by the movement.
All right, Chris, a different question. Are you surprised it's 68-point over-under? That's a lot of points, man.
I mean, yeah, and especially if you're talking about a 20-point jump right now. So you're talking about a 40-20 victory, or, you know, 44-24. On one hand, that sounds about right. That's 68 over under. On the other hand, though, that sounds absolutely insane. I feel like it's almost too low. But you have to remember that Vegas odds are not based purely on statistics. It's based off how many people are betting on one way or the other. So answer me this question before I continue. Has that number dropped, or has it stayed the same?
It stayed the same. Hasn't moved.
This is just their initial predictions based off somewhat of statistics, and also based off, you know, how many points Fresno State tends to score versus really good opponents versus how many points Boise State and offenses and defenses won. So that 68 doesn't bother me. I would have probably set it a lot higher at 72 or 73 points, but that 68 could well come into handy.
But if you say 44-24, that makes sense. But I just going back, I know both teams, like both coaches said in their press conference or teleconference for the Mountain West title game that we joked about earlier. You missed us making fun of Ziegler earlier, but we were talking about that.
they were both saying it's true. That's coach speak, but it's also true coach speak. Oh, it's 5-6 games ago. But in that game, Fresno played pretty good. Martez Lawler, I don't remember what it was in that fourth quarter, but he had like 2 carries with the game on line. He was going toe-to-toe with Jay Ajayi. So while the two teams have played another month down the road, Boise State, as like for me, I'm surprised. I figured it'd be like 14 points. But Boise State, like, oh, they are finally playing well. Utah State, Wyoming. If you go back to San Diego State game, New Mexico game, I wouldn't trust Boise State to beat anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think it seems a bit much for them having just 2 back-to-back good games. But let's we'll try. We'll attempt to do our is this our quinterback show, Chris and Matt? Is that sound about right? Almost with all of us here.
Are we on the quinterback offense?
Well, yeah, 4. Can we just call it that? Just because.
That's sure. Quarterback. That's not a quinter. We need a 5th person.
We got 2 viewers. So does that count? Half a viewer each.
Quarter.
The quarterback. So
the quarterback. The literal quattro.
Maybe that's all a joke with you, Jesse, with Hawaii, Fresno. Who else has done it? New Mexico playing
out now.
Multiple quarterbacks at one time. So here's what we're doing. We're going to kind of go through pros and cons. We'll just kind of wing it, I guess, because like I said, Jesse, the funny thing is, Chris, Jesse asked for a rundown of what we're talking about.
I know. It was a fair question.
No, I know. I'm just kidding. We're just messing with you. We tried that for a little bit, but it's like, Alice is going with it. No, I get you. With 4 people, we should be a bit more prepared. But here's what I want to discuss here. So just kind of go through position by position a little bit. It's late. We don't need to do every single one, but I want everybody's thought, like, who has the advantages here or there, because I'm going to write some up about this. Let's start with the most equal position, I'm assuming. Everybody can just say yes or no, and we'll go from there. But is running back possibly the most equal position in depth-wise and overall production?
Well, are we talking about just the running backs by themselves, or are we talking about the running backs plus the offensive line?
Well, running game in general. They're pretty equal, I think.
I would say they're just about even, yeah.
Chris, Jesse, you agree? You two are the Boise homers here, so you can say what you want. Say no.
I have to stay objective in this show.
I mean,
it's not like Jay Ajayi is the Mountain West Player of the Year, or I'd be able to say.
Oh, no, he's not.
I might be able to make an argument, but I think you make some good valid point that, you know, Waller and Ajayi went toe-to-toe. Another question is, if you're talking about running game, well, then you add in, you know, the wheels of Grant Hedrick, and maybe that skews it in Boise State's favor. I think one thing that hasn't been publicized as much as it probably should have is just the growth in the offensive line for Boise State over these past couple of games. I think that's why you're seeing the devastating margins and big leads early, is them just, you know, creating holes for Ajayi to run through.
That's a good point. Ajayi in the passing game is doing well also. But I also think with Josh Quezada, because he came in, what was it, Matt, 2 games ago when Waller left? Didn't Waller leave in the Nevada game with that shoulder injury?
No, it was during the San Jose State game. He got about 25 carries in the first quarter and a half and then suffered the shoulder injury. And then Quezada came in and got about another 20-some-odd carries. And they both ended up with over 100 yards rushing.
Okay.
So he's really come on strong in the last few weeks. But Jesse's talking about Grant Hedrick being an underrated runner. I think when they've given the opportunity for Brian Burrell to run every so often, he's made some offenses pay. He hasn't done it quite as much in the second half of the season as he did in the first half. But, you know, he's shown some capacity to run the read option and keep defenses honest with his mobility.
That's true. Yeah, it seems like it's like with Chucky Keaton, Utah State, they're not really designed runs, but if he needs to, he can make something happen. What he's done the past year or two. But let's go to quarterbacks. Chris, you can just say Grant Hedrick if you want, but actually, one quick thing. We have our good friend Tim Suzo, who's actually watching the show. Sorry if I butchered your name. Chris, what are you drinking tonight? You just got home, so.
I just got home, so I'm not drinking anything left. You want to come back to me in about a few minutes after I leave, all you guys?
Let us know. Tim wants to know. He's this late night, he's one of the few who's actually getting an early preview with the 2 others right now before I actually post this.
All right, fine. After I answer this question about quarterbacks, I will go make myself a Jack and Coke. How's that?
Perfect. Excellent. All right, so it's wrong quarterbacks. you and me have both made fun of the Fresno State lovingly, Matt, as you know, as we discussed the Fresno State Bulldogs. And me and Matt did the show where we tried to be positive for the most part. That kind of worked.
Sort of. So
we attempted to. So, Kurt, what's your issue? Outside, we discussed some running game to QB, but what about the passing game to receivers? Because with Burrell to Josh Harper, I think that could potentially, even though Boise State fans are saying I'm crazy and terrible, that could be a better combination than anything Boise State has overall, like downfield and a scoring threat. Now, you already get your drink? What's going on?
Oh, me? Is it my turn?
Yeah, you said you want to go first. I see.
I'll go first. Yes.
You said after the question, and you typed in grabbing a drink now, but you said after.
Fine. Okay. I will answer my question. Yeah. So I think one of the things that Fresno State really has done well, especially with Brian Burrell, is that he has proven himself to be, I guess, the first string quarterback without any questions.
Finally.
And once that happened, Fresno State seemed to turn it all around. And I'm not sure if that was just, oh, we're going to start Zach Greenlee and something clicked in Burrell and basically saved the game, or if that was just, you know, a ploy. Either way, Burrell came in the game, started making better decisions, and even that he'll still make a bad pass or two, but he's become more of a commander on the field, if that makes sense. I think as opposed to Hedrick, who I think has always kind of had that senior leadership quality about him, and even with all the mistakes he made, you know, especially in those two games between Ole Miss and Air Force, those decisions that he made were poor, but even since that turnaround game after Air Force, he's been much better controlling the ball, spreading the ball around, to many, many different receivers. I think one game he spread the ball around to 8 or 9 receivers, and he knows exactly what route is going to go and where he's got to put that ball, and he's become much better in that. So if you were to ask me what quarterback was better, I could easily say Grant Hedrick, but I feel like Burrell has brought his standard up to the point where he could almost become as good as Hedrick, except for the completion percentage.
Yeah, his 57 to 72, that's not that close. So let's go to Jesse here. Chris, go get your drink and let us know when you're back. So Jesse, I know the big thing about Hedrick, in my opinion, he had, like Chris has mentioned this many times, he's only really had 3 games that weren't very good, like Ole Miss, Air Force, where he got benched, and then San Diego State. That's 10 of his 13 interceptions. Do you feel he's kind of overcame that a little bit by the turnovers of him not being as wild? And then you got Jerron Smith back there who somehow made first team All Mountain West, which may have been name only, but he's out there and he's a pretty good defensive back, Blair.
Yeah, I think, you know, my case about Grant Hedrick is you know what you're going to get from him. Ball security has always been an issue, even when, you know, he had packaged plays early on in his career. So none of it's really been a surprise. I guess the fact that, you know, the multiple 4 interception games was a little shocking, but I think he's really righted the ship. And it's funny when you talk about adding Josh Harper into the mix with Burrell, how, you know, on paper, that actually is probably a better combo than any combination that Boise State can put out there with Grant Hedrick. But the funny thing about Hedrick losing Matt Miller as his primary target is it made him trust his other receivers much, much more, and the offense has benefited greatly from it. It's too bad that they couldn't have figured that out before Matt Miller went down with the season-ending injury, because I can only imagine what the offense could look like today if he were on the field. He's a stud of a receiver, should play on Sundays down the road. But I think just the fact that, you know, there's more variation in his looks and his reads, he's having to actually go through a full mental process of the offense, has made him a much, much stronger quarterback.
Good point, yeah, because they've been getting what, McMichaels and was it Schoenbrook, I believe, if I could remember that guy's name.
McNichols and Spurbeck.
Yeah, there it is, McNichols and Spurbeck. Those two guys. And then you got Shane Williams-Rhodes out there, Ajayi catching probably, 50 passes all year, something like that.
Yeah, you have Chaz Anderson, who's also had to make the jump
Dallas Burrows is out there too.
Yeah, so, you know, getting the tight ends involved, just trusting those guys has really helped. And the, you know, the loss of Matt Miller has also forced those receivers to develop their game as well. I kind of use the example of myself and my job. I have a great boss, a great supervisor who always, looked after me. And I always knew that they would be there in case I screwed up. But that didn't really do me any favors in the fact that it just didn't push me to improve and progress as an employee. And I liken that to the same thing for these receivers and to Grett Hedrick. They always know that Matt Miller will be there. He's Mr. Consistent. He will go up, snare the ball. It didn't force anybody to improve. And so I think that loss, again, really made those jumps that we needed to see from the Boise State perspective.
Excellent. Now back to Matt over here after his 10-minute break. So what's your comfort level with Burrell? Because there's no longer he's played, if I'm correct, is it 4 straight games by himself outside of the one Brandon Connett running play versus Nevada?
No, he came in during the second half of the Wyoming game. So he played pretty much the entirety of the San Jose State, Nevada, and the Hawaii games. I guess I'll start by saying I wish that I shared Chris's enthusiasm for Burrell.
Chris liked Burrell quite a lot.
I do like Burrell.
Because I will make the argument, as others might, that he's really only played one complete game all year long, and that would have been the San Jose State game. You could argue that he had, a really hot first half against Nevada, and then the offense kind of coasted from there. And you could argue that he had a really good first half in Hawaii, and then the offense stalled, which allowed the Warriors to come back. I'm just going to throw some numbers out there for you guys, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
You guys were talking about the overall completion percentage difference between Hedrick and Burrell. He's only topped Burrell has only topped 60% completions 3 times this year. And
one was more.
And Hedrick's only fallen below 60% one time. And the difference in yards per attempt between the two is 6.1 to 8.9. So even though their touchdown to interception ratio is almost exactly the same, he hasn't been nearly as efficient as Hedrick has been this year. And if you've watched as much Fresno State as I have, you'll see that he's still not terribly accurate. A lot of the passes, the receivers are the ones making the plays rather than him. I don't really know where you want me to go from there.
Imagine like your comfort level, because I try to mix it up. I don't want that same question, who's better, who's not, but you see, are you less confident than Chris?
The answer is clearly that Hedrick is the better quarterback, and that's going to play a role in him.
So what do you think Burrell has to do? Is it just him being a bit more accurate, like getting the ball to Josh Harper more, because we know Boise has a good secondary. They like to go after the ball to get the big play, but like we said all year, they are still susceptible to give up big yards.
I think the key is really going to come down to whether or not the other guys can step up, because the first time these two teams played, Harper only caught 4 passes, but the other guys, all of the other receivers caught 4 passes for 55 yards. So they're going to need a play from a Greg Watson or an Aaron Peck. And Aaron Peck, I expected really big things from him this year. And he's been pretty quiet for the most part. He's still suffered from, cases of the drops here and there. And they're going to need one of those guys to step up and be at least a consistent threat. They're going to need one of those guys to probably convert a third down at some point.
Okay, so one last thing on the offense then. So what's the big difference to offense? Because we know the running game's, like we already mentioned, kind of right there head-to-head. Did I mute myself here? Oh. Christopher has added Google effects. Thank you, Chris.
I didn't do that on purpose.
What I was getting at, the weeks of running game's close, receiving, passing game, Boise's favor. So what do you think for Fresno? Because we know Boise's offense, there shouldn't be too many issues, I don't think. But just a quick 4 or 5 word answer from each of you. What do you think would be for Fresno to maybe not outplay, but at least play equally to Boise State? I'll start with Jesse.
You copy the New Mexico game plan, and that's hit home runs.
They do have two running backs. Is it too late for Tim Drueter to get in that triple pistol option offense?
I think you can game plan anything in a week.
In a week. Okay, what about you, Matt? What do you think Fresno has to do to kind of, if it goes to a lot of points?
If it goes to a lot of points, they got to make sure they keep the ball in Waller's hands and in Quezada's hands, because I don't have a lot of confidence that they're going to be able to get behind that secondary.
Excellent. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, no, I actually agree with Jesse here. They need to go to like a triple option style offense.
Okay, give me a legitimate reason, Chris.
That wasn't a legitimate reason. Really, what they have to do is the offensive line has to push enough to give Waller those big enough holes. And I think Waller can hit that second level pretty well. The thing that Waller has to be careful of is the big strips that will happen if Waller tries to break loose and Deion or Ione or Darian Thompson get the hand, just get kind of a strip tackle. But I do think Waller can get to that second level. The problem is the offensive line has to give him the holes to get on that second level.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Chris there. I think running game is the key. And then if they need to – you got to use Waller more than Quezada, but if they're going to run as much as they probably should run. Because Waller, if you look at his numbers, he's only ran the ball 195 times. J.H.I. ran for 303. Even Donald Pumphrey at San Diego State, 256 times. So it's not like he's overly worked comparatively to Ajayi, but doesn't seem to bother him all that much. But I think if they could keep the ball – it's like the Air Force tactic, keep the ball out of the other team's hand. If they run well enough, which I think they can do, that's going to be a way to get Josh Harper involved or any of those other receivers, where it's Peck or whoever, open downfield. Because if Boise's going to creep up and, oh, let's move in another linebacker here, let's bring in a safety blitz or something, let's say a blitz or what's it called, a run blitz package or something, that's when it could open up. And Burrell has shown enough, I think. And then if you just chuck it to Harper, he catches almost anything. That's kind of where I think they need to go. But ball control and just offensive line are obviously key. Nobody cares about it, but you got the big guys make some room. Let's go to defense then.
That's the other thing to keep in mind, too, is that the screen game, I think, is going to be really important for us. Quezada and Waller, they've each caught 25 passes apiece this year. And the only difference between this year and last year is that the screen game hasn't been quite as effective because they haven't been able to get the ball downfield as much.
Sure. Yeah, you don't have Davante Adams and Isaiah Burse and Marcel Jensen to do that.
The wide receivers haven't been able to make as many plays off the screen game.
Yeah. All right, so that's excellent good point. See, I think similar could be a little bit for Boise because Dry has almost that same number of receptions by himself, I think 45 or something. Okay, let's go to defense. So really quick. Matt Reed.
Did he go all max headroom on us?
I don't know.
Remix.
So about that defense.
Hey, yeah. Defense. Well, little did I know, it's actually a phase of the football game. I'm all about offense, so who knows?
So wait. You mean that we're going to start talking about the SEC's favorite position, which is defense and run-only defense?
Yes.
Okay. So I guess since Jeremy kind of cut himself out somehow, he's still on. I think he accidentally muted himself and was trying to figure out what's going on. So we know that the two basic things that it's going to come down to is it's going to come down to the front seven, or if it's going to go down to you're presenting yourself to everybody. Okay, no longer presenting. So it's either going to come down to the front seven, the defensive ends and the linebacking core, or it's going to come down to the secondary. But we know that the secondary for both teams have kind of hit sort of a rough patch. So let's focus on that issue first. And I'll start with Matt, because one of the keys that I've seen to Fresno State's success is that the Fresno State secondary has actually improved. Do you think that this is the case, or are they just kind of trying to get back into the groove of things? Like, have they really not improved? It's just the offense clicking more.
No, I think that the shuffling that they've done over the last couple of months has really paid off, because they finally settled on a unit that's really kind of come together and been cohesive in the last month. And that foursome is going to be different from what Boise saw the first time. You know, Darren Smith is obviously going to be the anchor in the defensive backfield, but Charles Washington will have moved from safety to corner opposite of true freshman Malcolm Washington, who stepped up and played pretty well. And Dalen Jones is going to be the other safety. And if you remember last year's championship game, he was the one who knocked out Daryl Gerritsen and forced that fumble with his big hits. That's kind of what he's become known for around here. So those four guys have really come together, and the numbers may not bear it out, but in the last few games, they've really played well. You know, they held Nevada scoreless in the second half. They really kind of locked down San Jose State and picked off Joe Gray a couple times. And then, you know, before they allowed Hawaii in the game, they really shut down Ikeiko Woolsey for more than half the game. So those four guys are going to be really important, because, you know, Spurbeck and Shane Williams-Rhodes, they're going to get their catches, and they're just going to need to not give up yards after the catch.
So, and it seems like Jeremy's back here. I'll let him take the reins in a second, but until we move on to Jesse, my last question on that is, do you think that Deron Smith earned his first team All Mountain West conference position that was announced today?
I think so, because I think the temptation is to look at the big flashy numbers, like the interceptions and stuff like that. But he's really kind of been a steady influence, even despite the fact that the corners did not always play very well. And I don't think it would be fair to blame, you know, other people's faults for, you know, him not being recognized. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So am I back here, folks? You got me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you.
That was weird. That was the question about Deron Smith, is what will be on the recording where everybody ignores me, when somehow it showed me all lights, all green lights in the corner talking. So defense, yeah, Deron Smith. I'll add to that. I get the point, no numbers. He had one interception, about six, I think, pass breakups. I just felt there was maybe a few others who made more plays, more tangible plays. But we know Deron Smith will be in the NFL and play very well. But it happens. Hey, when they don't throw it to you, what are you going to do? You get no stats, right?
Yeah, like I said, I think that was more about the cornerback's shortcomings than it was about his shortcomings.
All right, so let's go to the Boise defense. We got Jesse here and everybody. We'll start with Jesse on defense. We know, I'm under the opinion a little bit that, let's go to the secondary, because I think that's the area, if Fresno's going to win, they're going to have to get something downfield a little bit. Are you still under the impression they may still give up yards, but can make the big play, interceptions or a big pass breakup or something along those lines?
Yeah, it's been interesting. You know, the recent weeks, they've given up plenty of big plays, but it all seems that they are on the ground, not necessarily through the air. Obviously, the secondary was very porous early on in the season, and now, you know, it doesn't seem that they're as vulnerable. But that also could be the offenses that they faced. You know, maybe they weren't as effective offenses, you know, the latter part of the season.
Wyoming,
yes. you know, but the secondary has gone through some shifts and some phases. You know, first part of the year it was injuries. You know, they've stayed pretty healthy after, you know, going through that gauntlet of Nevada, Fresno State, BYU. After those three games, the whole, you know, besides Mercy Mastin, who took a redshirt this year, you know, everybody's been back. And then, you know, you have the news that came out this week about Jeremy Iwani and his kidney failure. And so they've been transitioning some, you know, other safeties back there, moving some of the linebacking crew around. Tanner Vallejo's played a nickel position. You know, you've had some shifts between Corey Bell, and slowly but surely he has kind of been weaned off the rotation, although he didn't come back and play a little bit more against Utah State. But I think, you know, for a lot of the defenses going through the season, you're trying to find their own identity, trying to find what works. And I think they've gotten to a place now where it gets more to that bend, don't break sort of place. And so I expect that's what we'll see too. But, you know, undersized corners, Harper could have a very good day if Fresno State decides to focus on that.
So what did Fresno do last – or Boise do last time because they only allowed 127 yards in the air?
Yeah, that was – it was a really odd game for me. It just kind of mucky. It was really weird. I think that Fresno State made a concerted effort to focus on the ground game, which I think, you know, even at that point you didn't want to get into a shootout with Boise State. You want to be able to control the game as much as you can. So I think that was more of it than anything. I know Burrell didn't have the most accurate game, but as we've mentioned on this podcast, he hasn't had many accurate games. So I'd hate to say that that's anything that Boise State did in particular.
All right, so let's go over to Matt here a little bit for the kind of similar type question, like with that Boise secondary a little bit. We've already discussed the wide receivers, but what's – I'll do dual questions. What's one quick thing maybe Harper could do to get open or make the big play? And then kind of the same thing will flip to the Fresno defense. Like, well, Chris already asked that question. I should have paid attention when I closed out here. Stick with the Harper question. Let's still go with there since I'm organized.
Well, I think what's really going to help Harper, if anything, is the fact that he's got a height advantage on whoever's going to cover him. Because Deion is only 5'9", and Jonathan Moxie, who made a couple big plays last week against Utah State, is only 5'10". And Harper, if I remember correctly, I think he's like 6'2", if I'm not mistaken, 6'1". But, you know, he's going to have to probably out-jump someone at some point to make a big play. And that's what I think might make a difference.
So then let's move kind of into the running game. The running game was successful. Stick with Matt here with Waller last time against Boise State. Overall, to improve Quezada getting more production out of himself running the ball. How do you see kind of Boise likes to strip the ball, attack from the linebackers. How do you kind of see how that might play out? Like, what I know you said offensive line earlier, that's always important, but if he gets to that second level past the linebackers, what do you think Boise can maybe stop that? Or once he's out there to go.
Well, I don't want to say he's going to average 9 yards per carry.
Why not? Go for it. Be bold.
But, you know, I think he's definitely going to have to get more than 18 carries like he has been in the last few weeks. I think he's definitely going to have to get some fourth quarter carries, which he did not do in the first matchup. He only got one carry for 2 yards in the fourth quarter. And they're going to need to really keep him fresh because of how dynamic he can be, which I think I'm really hoping that Dave Schramm doesn't, you know, keep running Quezada east-west. I'm really hoping they just give him a draw pay and they let him pound between the tackles and wear down that interior that way.
All right, so excellent stuff. So, Chris, let's head over to you real quick. Does Fresno State's defense have any chance against Boise's offense? I'll give you the broad open-ended question.
That's a horrible broad open-ended question because I feel like I really want to say no, but in fact, there always is a chance. What you guys don't see is that one of the Mountain West all-conference players this year, as soon as I bring it up, there was a Fresno State defensive lineman who made it. I believe it was
Tyler Davison.
Huh?
Tyler Davison.
Yes.
Tyler Davison. Yeah. And I think if he can get pressure, now this has gone up against a pretty stout Boise State offensive line who's gotten better throughout the year. But if he can break through those holes, roll out, attack Hedrick, make him roll out. And I'm going to try and describe this as wordy as I can while trying to maintain a complete visual effect. So Davison has to come out. He has to roll in, pressure Hedrick. And when Hedrick rolls out, the linebacking core basically has to roll out with him. And I say you have to not only stick one spy on Hendrick just because he has a set of wheels that we've seen been turning loose lately. But I think you should keep two spies on him, and that you could both attack him kind of from both angles. If one misses, the other one can get to him, and minimize those yards that Hendrick can pick up on the ground. And just as well, the defensive line has to find a way to contain Ajayi the best they can. But we saw even from the Connecticut game, if Ajayi is contained on the ground, he's still a threat through the air. So you have to make him as one-dimensional as possible.
Well, then how can you do that if you're going to put two guys in Hendrick, which, not to say it's a bad idea, but I think that's a real bad idea. Right? That can't be a good idea.
No, it can't be. And the point of a spy is to keep an eye on the quarterback. It's not to follow him wherever he goes, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And so if Hendrick looks like he's staying contained and letting Ajayi do all the work, then that means that your primary focus is going to be on Ajayi. I mean, take it from the NCAA 14 perspective, right? you have the spy who's there to contain, but at the same time, he really isn't a contain. If he knows that the quarterback's not going to move, his primary target is the one with the ball.
True. So let me go to Jesse with this. Kind of, Chris gave his answer. I was going to ask that to Chris, but my large question enabled him to answer however he wanted. So what would it take? Because we saw versus Utah State. Boise versus Utah State, I should say. Utah State was getting to the backfield, but Hendrick is very good at avoiding the pressure and still making a play. What do you think, like, the freshman defense, like, how can they stop that by not only getting to the backfield, it could be Tyler Davidson or whoever, but getting back there, but also not making Hendrick uncomfortable? Because he seemed fine. Roll out, pressure, take a step up, move side to side, extend the play. He was doing it all night versus the Aggies.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take a quick but roundabout way to answer that question. I think a key, like you said, is to make the offense one-dimensional as much as you can. I think if the secondary of Fresno State can really get physical with the receivers, the multiple receivers that have come out of the backfield or that line up out wide for Boise State and really disrupt that timing, I think that's when Grant Hendrick can get into problems, when those routes aren't there that he's expecting. You know, his progression has happened because, you know, he gets to one read, two read, and then kind of takes off and looks for that hole. I think he can get flustered any more than that, maybe take off a little bit too early now. But it's just disrupt that timing and allow the defensive line to go to work. And because, you know, there's not an impenetrable shield around the cornerback. The defensive line will eventually get there, you know, in 4 seconds. Disrupt it, cover those guys up, really force Boise State to run the ball as much as you can. I think there you got a puncher's chance at it.
So what about you, with you, Matt, with that defense? How do you think what's the key maybe to make Hendrick uncomfortable? Because if you give Ajayi the ball, he's going to crush you for 250 yards.
Well, I think aside from Ajayi, I think the guy they really need to stop is Shane Williams-Rhodes. But, you know, it's funny that you mentioned, Jesse, about, you know, trying to disrupt the routes so that Hendrick can get flustered. You know, by moving Charles Washington from safety to corner and putting Malcolm Washington in lineup, it gives them a height advantage against these Boise receivers as well. Because the tallest receiver, I think, if I'm not mistaken, is Spurback. Am I correct?
Yeah, that they're running out there right now. I mean, Troy Ware and, out there, but he's not as big of a part of the rotation right now.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the depth chart right now, and he's only 6 foot. And, you know, Washington, Charles is 5'11", and Malcolm is 6'2". So I think if they can be aggressive and stay on top of those guys, I think that, like you said, might impact Hendrick in the long run.
All right. So one last thing. Let's do a quick special teams really quick. Is that in favor of Boise State or Fresno State?
That's got to be in Boise's favor.
Yeah. It's got to ask to make sure we cover everything, I assume, with the return game and all that. Is there any, let's go to one last, let's go wrap this up because we're going just about an hour here. I will give my biggest kind of like a key to kind of how the game might play out a little bit. I think here's how I think Fresno – it's kind of like how each team can win. I'll start with saying Fresno will win if they could – it's cliche for turnover battle, but if they can – J.H.I. is known to fumble. We all know that. That's a problem he's had. I think you can't really predict it, but with him, like we saw in the Air Force game, he'll bulldoze and try to keep moving those legs, get that extra 6 inches, which does no good really for the most part if you think about it. He can lose the ball. I think if Fresno can – win the turnover margin by stripping Ajayi and just getting Josh. I just like Josh Harper so much. If they can get him involved a lot with the running Waller playing reasonably well and turnover margin, I think that's a chance they may be able to win. So let's go to Matt. Go next.
I think it's going to come down to whether or not, you know, who wins on third down. Because the first time, you know, Boise more or less won the battle by going 9 of 19. But it's worth keeping in mind that even in that fourth quarter when Fresno wasn't able to do anything on offense, Boise was 0 for 5 on third down. And the only reason they were able to extend drives is because they were 2 for 2 on fourth down. And that really enabled them to keep the ball for long stretches of time and get down the field, whittle down the clock, and eventually get the lead and hold on to it. But, you know, they didn't get a first, they didn't get a third down conversion in that first quarter the first time around, and they were 1 of 6 in the fourth quarter. And I think that, you know, whoever wins that battle is going to have a huge edge.
All right, Chris, you go next.
It's something I mentioned earlier, and maybe I thought I tried to make it obvious enough, but maybe I didn't. I really think what's going to come down to this play is which defense is going to be able to eliminate the big play, the bigger plays of the running backs. I think between Martez Waller and Jay Ajayi, both are going to have to break free at least one or two times in this game. And I think whoever can minimize the damage on that will have a good shot at winning.
All right, so let's stick with the Chris. Who's going to win? What's your – we don't do score predictions all that often, but what do you think the outcome is going to be, Chris? Well, let's just do what we normally do. Let's not go crazy. Do you want to go off our 20 points or 17 and a half points we received earlier in the week?
Yeah, hell, I'll go off the 20. I'm going to say it's going to be a 55 to 30.
So you're going home or out, Boise win and cover?
And cover and taking the over on the points.
Give me over on everything. All right, well, Jesse, what do you got?
Yeah, I feel like most of this podcast we've been very favorable. I really don't think it'll be close. I'm taking Boise State in the over.
Interesting. So three touchdown wind. All right, Matt, well, Fresno guy, what do you got? 20. If we're going, I don't care. Let's just stick with 20 because 20 is a ridiculous amount.
You know what? I'm going to take the points. I'm going to say Fresno plus 20 to cover, but I think that Boise State will probably win pretty comfortably. I think it'll be 35-17, maybe.
Okay. Let me type this down there. Boise win, not cover.
And just so you guys know, Boise State's gone over in each of the last five games.
They've been playing pretty well. BYU, they put all points. Nevada's lending a lot of points. And Wyoming blowout. Utah State, annihilation. So my pick, if I'm going 20, I initially thought it was about maybe 14 and move up to almost this amount. But, because it depends. For me, it depends what Brian Brill shows up. If he shows up efficient, not even outstanding, but say – just give him one interception. That's okay. Get a couple, but he gets a couple touchdowns and throws for 65%. But for him, that's like a really good game.
let's spot him a 60% completion percentage.
I know, I'm just saying, but that's, you know what I'm kidding. He's averaging 57, so if he gets above 60, that's pretty good. From what I seen for Boise State last week, I was shocked how bad Boise State just was able to beat down Utah State. Utah State's defense. There's tackling issues, which is more towards Aggies issues than Boise State, but Boise State just did what they wanted. I got to go with the Chris over for points, pick Boise to win, and give me everything Boise. That's all I can. That's the I I don't think it'll be as bad as Utah State, but I'm thinking I'm actually probably closer to Matt than I am than Chris. It'll be something where it'll still cover by three touchdowns. We'd be like, 45-21 or something like that. There'll be a lot. Fresno will keep it close, but then Boise will have some sort of stretch where they'll score like 13 to 20 points really quick. Because they kind of do that at times. So, as we wrap up, anybody have any lasting words you want to mention about the game? Anything you want to say?
This is Jesse, obviously. That last Fresno State game may have been a big turning point for Boise State's season. I mean, it was just a fight. It was kind of a revenge game from Boise State, trying to still battle through injuries at that point. And then after that, I think some of the reins got taken off the offense and they are just let loose, run wild. And I think, as you mentioned, that Boise State has gone over in each of the most recent games. And I think that's the game that, everybody was like, okay, we can win a close game. It's tied in the fourth quarter. This team is prepared to make a run.
All right, let's go with you, Matt.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Bulldogs.
Well, I mean, the only thing I'm going to say is that the Bulldogs are going to come out on defense and they're going to be aggressive and they're going to bring blitzes from pretty much every single direction. So I think that, somebody we don't expect is going to make a big play at some point. And whether it keeps Fresno State in the game or turns the tide somehow, I'm talking about like not somebody who's in the starting 11. I'm talking about someone like Shannon Edwards or Curtis Riley or Brandon Hughes. Someone I think is going to come off the edge and make a big play at some point to keep Fresno in the game.
All right, Chris, do you have any lasting words on the game?
I'm going to go ahead and say this. I think Matt's absolutely right in terms of Boise's essentially had the over ever since that Fresno State game. I see one instance since the Fresno State game where Boise even kept it relatively close, and that's because they spotted San Diego State a 20-point lead in the first quarter. So I think for Fresno State, they come out aggressive on defense. That's either going to work for them, as in keeping the game close for a while, or they're going to become overly aggressive, miss tackles, and this game's going to be over from the first quarter. Yeah, and also there's no milk can to play for.
Oh, there's not? That they can't come back into play?
No, they announced that the milk can will not be in play for this game. It will just be the Mountain West Conference trophy.
Regular, okay. That's all, just that trophy?
Sports Authority.
Yeah, Sports Authority, whatever it's called, Sports Authority. Is it the last time Fresno beat Boise State when the turf was not blue?
It was 1984, it was before the turf was blue.
86. I believe.
No, it's 1984. I was like 6 months old.
It was Orwellian, to say the least.
It was 84, I thought? Okay. Yeah, it's just a long time ago. Also, as one of our Colorado State guys would say, it's when Boise JUCO school, or non-division 1A, their FCS at the time. Fresno's only won three times ever. They've won, the one win at Boise doesn't really count because Fresno was FBS, or 1A, and Boise was not 1A. My last thought in this game, what I'd really like to see, because we're also accused of being homers just because our one of our guys who's listening live picks Fresno 31-28.
Yeah, Matt, you're a Boise State homer. How do you like
that? You saw that, huh?
Yeah. Our good guy Tim. Also, Chris, he wanted to know what sandwich did you eat during the show? Ooh, did you have a sandwich?
I did not eat any sandwiches before the show, but before my dance practice tonight, I had Firehouse Subs. So
he was just asking. That's all. Okay. My last thoughts in the game, but I want to see a good game. Me predicting Boise is going to win by three touchdowns is not good because the game's reasonably late. I want people to watch the game to see what goes on. I think my last thoughts in the game, what I really want to see is I want to see Dron Smith have some sort of big game defensively where he actually gets an interception or something. That's kind of – you can't really predict those type of things because they can throw away from him. Like Matt said, the quarterbacks had issues for Fresno State. But what I'd like to see is more do what they did. Fresno do what they did in the first game. Martez Wall run the ball, and Quezada be right there with them to make it interesting. For give me give me at least just until past halftime. Is that too much to ask? 8 minutes into the third quarter before the game gets out of hand, perhaps? I don't think that's too much to ask, is it, guys?
Yes, oh, no. Yes, it is.
Hey, well, come on. There's a Boise Homer there.
But because, you know, by 9 o'clock, all the East Coast people are on by bed anyway, so it won't be even the first quarter. So we'll spot you the first quarter.
Okay. I just want to see a good game because I was so pumped for that Utah State game, and it's so let down. I just wanted the close game. So even if it's like last year's title game where Utah State was in it but not really in it, that would kind of like that a little bit. But that's all I got for tonight. That's our preview show. Of course, we had technical glitches. We went off topic at the beginning of the show, per usual, but not as off topic as the Mountainous Conference call, which we mentioned earlier without Chris. So that's our show tonight. We had our, as usual, Chris Hondres right there. Greek, we haven't done this in a while. Do we have a Twitter update for Greek Padre?
Ooh.
Let's do that.
Yeah, I'm up to 414.
Get him to 425 before the title game weekend's over. Is that too much to ask? Give him 11 more followers?
Yeah, but you have to have other people following our other guests, too. So.
Well, I'm getting there. I'm not done yet. We have our crap. Jesse, give me yours since I butchered it five times earlier tonight before we even started the show, trying to look it up.
Yeah, it's underscore Jesse Baker underscore J-E-S-S-E.
I will tweet that out and everything. He writes for obnug.com, our lovely other Boise State site on network. So for those who complain that we – because Chris knows we're biased toward every team. So if you want more Boise State coverage that we don't provide – go check out them because Drew does a good job as well, and Kevin, those guys, they're a bit more snarky over there a little bit. They do more fun things than we do.
And I was invited over there, but I had other commitments like fighting for us.
So you turned it down. That's what you're saying. You're better than them, right?
No, I'm not. I'm not funny enough to be with them.
Yes, get it. You're way more qualified than I am, so that's that's what they bring. They are more humorous. I am not. I try maybe twice a year. I succeed at it, but that's about it. So. Check out them, obnug.com. They'll have coverage. They'll have – are they going to do a – they haven't done this all year. Have they done the name generator for the depth chart this year? Or has that been
Yeah, it's going on. It's kind of been overtaken by some fans, some nuggies over here. But there should be one up here in a couple days.
Got to do it for the title game. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
All right, then our Fresno State, who was accused of being a Boise State homer, follow Matt. Matt K underscore FS. And does FS stand for – Fresno State?
It does.
Oh, there we go. That's what we got there. Again, so check us out. MWCConnection.com. Our Twitter handle account, which is doing quite well, MWCConnection. Go to iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Blog Talk Radio. Like I tell Chris and everybody every week, go to iTunes or Stitcher. Give us 5 stars. You can tell us we're terrible. Like the one guy who told us we're terrible. If you're going to tell us we're bad, at least spell terrible right. T-E-A-R. Terrible.
It wasn't Charles Barkley, was it?
No, not terrible. not the T-U-R-R. Terrible. It was like, I'm going to make this bag, this perforated page in his kid's coloring book is terrible. That was the context, though. If you're going to tell us we suck, make it proper. Give it the right direction and the right way to say it. But thanks for, yes, Jesse, Matt, Chris. Jeremy here. Check us out. We have more news upcoming. Coaching turnstile. I'm not going to say carousel. I'll go coaching turnstile. We'll have that. Plenty more Fresno Boise State coverage all week. And if I can end the show here, I'd do that, but I can't find my page here. Hold on. Listen to our recap show on Sunday as well and check out Obnug for Boise State coverage and our website as well. So thanks for everyone for listening, joining the show, and let's hope for 2.5 quarters of a good football game.